Hi, how are you? I mean, I know that, you know, big radio personalities, we've got giant egos here, and this is, in the end, it's all about me and always should be, but today is just a how are we doing kind of Monday. Awful branding. Should have come up with something better than that. But I, like you, spent my Sunday watching whatever we're going to call that performance on Sunday. And the reality is, today is the day where there's going to be a lot of hardcore sportsing, right? We're going to get down with the nits and grits. They're here. The eye test, I believe we're going to get to a lot of that today. And we're going to get at the heart at how the Browns, who were 6.5-point favorites at home, had maybe one of the top five starts to a Browns game ever. Right? Giants fumble on special teams, turnover, ball in premium position, one play touchdown, Amari Cooper up top, Deshaun maybe the best throw of, it felt like his best throw of Deshaun's Browns career, and by the way, the third play from scrimmage, technically the fourth because they had to return the ball, but the fourth play, fifth play of the game was a Ronnie Hickman interception. That did inevitably get kind of washed away there by a penalty. We'll get into that as well. But my point is, if we script it out, right? Teams, Kevin Stefanski, the king of scripts, right? If you could script up a game, if you had football God's power, all right? That's exactly how you would draw it up. And to see then the Browns lay, to have the ultimate momentum at home, 6.5-point dogs, right? All the good fortune earlier. To see that good fortune reversed in a series of two quarters was wild. And I will be honest, guys, this is like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. All right? This is not, I don't know we can get this all done in 1 5-hour swoop. All right? This might be something that we spend, like we, the sports nerds, the Browns fans, spend the next several days really coming to terms with whatever the hell that was. But I am torn between justifiable outrage, and I heard it all day on the station. I mean, the Browns took an absolute you-know-what kick in a day, and I'll be honest with you, they probably could use a little bit more. So I'm torn between justifiable outrage and reminding everybody it's incredibly early. And I hate to be that guy, because that feels like a I-know-more-than-you kind of comment, and I'll be honest with you guys, I'm a moron. All right, and if my personal decisions, if my my profession has shown you anything, it's that I promise I know I'm no smarter than you. So let's start with the first thing. If we talk about justifiable outrage, I think today, if you're highlighting the Browns defenders dancing, I think that's low-hanging fruit. If you liked it, a year ago when they were good, and now you don't like it, so it's results-based, which means it really has nothing to do with the culture in Cleveland. Now, I thought it was interesting that a lot of the criticism about their dancing, and it did seem choreographed. It felt like they got the remains of Bob Fosse from the afterlife, brought him back for 5 minutes to put together a whole song and dance number. If you didn't like that last year and you like it now, it sure seems like we're just kind of pointing something easy out there, all right? But it's not simply about Deshaun Watson, right? I don't think Deshaun played great yesterday. I don't think he played awfully yesterday. Like, if we get into the top three, if we're doing a blame org chart, Deshaun's middle management, right? I got a bunch of CEOs up here. I got a bunch of executives. High offensive line. You're looking quite wealthy today. But no, like, it's not about Deshaun Watson. And here's the other thing. It's not really even about firing people. I think this is the thing that we as fans resort to when our team gets embarrassed. And like, here's the thing, guys. I don't care. And I've told you this a million times. I don't care just that you lose. I grew up with losing. I've grown older with losing. I will grow old with losing. God willing, I will be a 90-year-old man on this planet talking about how the hell did that happen for the Browns again. So it's not about the losing. Because, honestly, guys, losing is not the worst thing to happen to your team. It doesn't challenge my fandom. I stood by them in 0-16. I'll stand by them if they go 17-0. But to me, how you lose matters. And so on one hand, when we start talking about that justifiable outrage, we start really getting into this. There are big problems with the Cleveland Browns. That is no longer, that's no longer on the table for negotiation. I said on Friday that I thought the Giants game was an affirm or negate game, meaning that it's either going to affirm that Jacksonville was a true statement on where you were going, or it was going to negate it. It was going to affirm that the Cowboys game is more of what we should expect this season. I went very like Salem witch trial. On this day, you shall be judged. But either it's going to affirm what happened with Dallas is more of what's to be expected, or it's going to negate it. And unfortunately, it affirmed the thing none of us wanted to. So while there are big problems, and we're going to spend today getting to them, all right? That doesn't mean that the biggest and easiest fixes are the things that actually make sense. I get it. Kevin Stefanski, and boy, do I got some things to say about Kevin in this hour. That doesn't mean Kevin Stefanski should be fired. That's where it's incredibly early in the season. It doesn't mean that Jim Schwartz has lost his mojo. It's week three. It doesn't mean Andrew Berry, wide receivers, Andrew, please, better, you, now. It doesn't mean Andrew Berry should get fired, or Haslam should move the team, or Deshaun should be benched. And all those things at some point might become realistic conversations this year. And I'll be honest with you, a big reason why that shouldn't be on the table is it would be too easy of an out for any of the principal people who failed you, the Browns fans, yesterday. I don't want Kevin Stefanski fired. This is a trial by fire. Figure it out or hit the bricks eventually. But figure it out. You're the guy who won't say a damn thing in the press conference. You're the guy who, I mean, we consider every possibility. Okay? You're the guy that is here to win games. And no. Run that back. You are here to win games, but you are here to compete. I didn't see a whole lot of competing going on yesterday. For the second time in 2 weeks, I didn't see a whole lot of competing out of the Cleveland Browns in front of their home fans. And there's a few national folks, or there are a few folks on social media who thinks that that's somehow a commentary on Browns fans, that Browns fans rightfully booed a team which couldn't be bothered to show up despite being spotted a 7-point lead, despite being spotted and gifted the start of the damn game. So that's some of that justifiable outrage here. There are big things going on with the Cleveland Browns. And the problem is that while firing somebody or benching someone or trading someone or trading for someone or any of the different big ideas, the fire-branded ideas we could come in with, right? None of those actually fix it. Because so many of the big issues with the Cleveland Browns are interlocked with each other. And so this isn't a Diet Coke fix. This isn't a simple fix. This isn't if you do one thing next week, all is well for the rest of the season. I have a feeling that this, whatever this monster is right now, whatever the elephant is in the room for the Cleveland Browns, they're going to have to wrestle that for a good part of the start of the season, maybe the whole damn season. And we can speculate, we can throw stuff out. Oh, do they not like Deshaun? Do they like Deshaun too much? Is Kevin not enough of a football guy? Is Kevin too smart, right? Does Andrew Berry really know how to draft wide receivers? He just seemingly chooses to not do it well. Willful ignorance, we'll call it. Is the franchise cursed? There are so many different things we can speculate and so many different things that we can get to. I am caught somewhere in between justifiable outrage, and it is incredibly early, and there is more than enough time. Hey, you got to be good by the Eagles game? That is a fake deadline. Guys, they play until January, all right? And that's every team in the NFL. And then if you do that well enough, then you get to go play for something more. So the real deadline is whenever you're going to get allegedly eliminated from the playoffs. But there's a lot of low-hanging fruit today. Here's one that isn't. That was unacceptable. And I do not like my non-negotiables for my team, right? For the team that I love. The things, you know, do they have to be nice guys? Not necessarily. I've rooted for turds. I've rooted for nice guys who couldn't find their way out of a paper bag. So that's not necessarily, it's easier. It's easier to root for your team if they're good. But it's not a non-negotiable, right? Well, do they have to be super talented? That helps. When the talent is obvious and it's clear. Yeah. That's really great. Do they have to be relatable? Again, not a non-negotiable. Here's my one non-negotiable. Try. And don't be front runners, I guess, would be my second one. If you're gonna go out there and pound your chest when things are good, maybe keep that energy when things are bad. Because I will tell you, what yesterday, in the first two of the three games of this season, point two, is a lack of leadership. And I'm not talking about guys saying things that sound leadery. I'm not saying guys who've read certain Tony Robbins books. I'm saying the kind of leadership that when the chips are down, that people respond to. And there's a myriad of different ways that looks. But I saw a rudderless team that was a 6.5-point favorite that was at home, that was coming off a win, that had so many things going for it. And they simply decided to not compete. I don't think it was like a collective, hey, should we go out there and poop the bed at home? Hey, it's a big day for this franchise, another opportunity to make the local fans happy. I don't think it was intentional, meaning like they all conversed about it. But the Cleveland Browns, and hear me in every sense of the word, they don't have enough dogs. Dudes in football specifically, I got that dog in me. And then you watch the game and you're like, it's a schnauzer at best. I think this is the Taco Bell, what the hell is little dog's called? I almost called
Chihuahua.
I almost called it a chalupa. That would have been a great start to the show, is calling a chihuahua a chalupa. One's delicious. I would not eat the other one. That's in bad taste. Literally. But no, that's what upsets me from yesterday. Right? Every day, I get up and I grind. I don't have a choice. I got bills to pay. I got a family to support. And honestly, and this is if I don't show my family how to overcome the things that I have to overcome on a daily basis, no one will. That's the ownership that every person in every town has to take. And when it doesn't feel like there's enough ownership, and there are good dudes on the Cleveland Browns, they haven't turned into turds overnight, all right? They haven't all of a sudden become some evil conglomerate of billionaires who don't give a rip about Browns football or you. And I guarantee you, there are men in that locker room that are trying to play hard. But none of them are playing hard together. None of them are doing the things, doing that, grinding their way to that day-to-day victory that you and I have to do. We don't have a choice. We can't say, you know what? 5 hours is a lot, so I think I'm going to give the people listening 2 hours. And hopefully that'll be enough to get through today and do everything else that I want to do. You can't say, you know what, I think I'm going to go, work 3 hours of an 8-hour job. Because if you do that enough, your ass is out on the street. And this is where messaging matters. Because I'm actually going to play this to start the show. And sorry, Mac, I'm calling a little huddle here. It's as Stefanski on the offensive line struggles. You can do, when you win, you can do whatever the hell you want. All right, you can. You want to celebrate, you want to do a chorus line, kick line with, you know, showgirls from Atlantic City, do whatever the hell you want. But when you lose, that's when accountability matters. And I'm going to give you, this was a question and answer today. And I'm not trying to harp on this because if we go too far with this, this itself becomes low-hanging fruit. But this is a perfectly direct and honest question by Daryl Ryder, our own Browns beat reporter. And here's the answer that you got from Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, Kevin, I want to ask you about the offensive line. If I've done the math right, I think it's 16 sacks and 42 QB hits through three games. Just from your perspective, setting aside the injury situation, what is going on up front with the protection issues?
Yeah, obviously that's disappointing. We have to be better there, and we will be better.
With Wyatt, is he possible IR candidate?
Yes, we're working through that. That's a possibility. With Miles, he's like a lot of our guys on this team. He's going to battle through these injuries, and I expect him to continue to get better.
So you got the injury report there in the back end, but just that first thing. All right, this was objectively one of the five worst offensive line performances I've ever seen. And I went back and tried to count how many times that Deshaun Watson in the first half actually got to get to his drop back spot and actually see the field, right? And it is inside, I can count them on one hand. I think I got to four times in the first half. It was honestly the most disappointing thing because I love trench football and I have been so proud of the Cleveland Browns, especially on the O-line, with guys like Wyatt, with guys like Joel, with guys like Posick and Jace Teller and Thomas and Mitchell Schwartz and so many dudes that I've watched play. Jack Conklin that I've watched. DeJuan Jones last year, but not this year. So that is a moment where you can just be honest. We'll get it figured out. Really? What do you have to show me that you'll get it figured out? That was a direct question of, hey, what do you think's going on with the O-line? And your answer was, we got to figure it out. Really? Because that, to me, is the epitome of Kevin Stefanski and his leadership style. So, the sky's falling. This is not good. Well, we'll get it figured out. I don't think you have a choice. And if that's the message internally, I don't know what you're really accomplishing here. If you want to show leadership, show it. Don't say you're going to show leadership. Don't say accountability. Saying accountability means nary a damn thing. So that's one thing that I picked out of his press conference today of non-answers and embarrassments. When you lose by 3 points in a walk-off field goal, say nothing, right? When you lose and it's just one of those heartbreaking games, but you can say with everything in your heart, you tried, say nothing. But when you know, and I know, and everybody watching watched your team get punked for the second time at home in the first 3 weeks of the season, I demand more. You want to start with where things go, let's start with a head coach. 216-474-0092. That is justifiable outrage. It's also early. The third down Jameis call into keeping the offense on the field while your defense had actually kind of found itself in the second half quietly, and then to then attempt an RPO on fourth down when all day long they had been, Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator for the Giants, had been throwing blitzes that you can tell caught the Browns off guard, was one of the more irritating sequences of decisions in Kevin Stefanski's career. And I understand that a lot of the time we start talking about coaching decisions, we treat them in a vacuum and that becomes the low-hanging fruit in of itself. That's not it. That was genuinely befuddling in real time. Starting with Jameis on 3rd and 1, I get the Jameis on 4th and 1, but Jameis on 3rd and 1 telegraphs the play, and you can then say, well, but then we have 4th and 1. Okay, but you wasted a play with a play that everybody, you weren't catching anyone by surprise in that moment. So even if Jameis just didn't do a good enough job, but I want to point something out here because we're talking about the Browns in that game yesterday and what the hell is going on with the Cleveland Browns. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. 216-474-0092. Esable on Twitter and social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, saying claiming the coach needs to display leadership to you via his Monday morning presser is a joke, Nick. His leadership would be demonstrated behind closed doors. Exactly. I'm questioning Kevin Stefanski's leadership because two straight home games, two of the first three games of this season, his team has come out without a pulse, and his team has gotten beaten. And in this case, listen, in Dallas, I get it. You want to throw it on Deshaun as being the preeminent? I totally get it. Deshaun was as bad as I'd ever seen Deshaun against that Dallas team. You can, with a bullet, point to Deshaun looked like crap and everything fell apart from there. But the team still lost heart. The team still seems to be front running this season. When they've got a lead, they're the 85 Bears. When they're seven down, all of a sudden, nothing works. Nobody likes each other. Nobody can communicate. So the reason why we're saying I need leadership and just your answers, give me something real, give me something that I can hear to say this guy will figure it out, is because I'm talking about effort. I'm going to go full Iverson here. I'm not talking about execution. I'm not talking about talent level. They're not losing because of talent. It's the same friggin' team that won 11 games last year. They prided themselves on not changing the script. Brought the whole gang back. It's a sequel with one new character, Jerry Jeudy. So when I'm saying in a press conference, I need leadership, it's because I'm not seeing it on the field. That sucks. And my biggest concern with Kevin is that he's okely-dokely to the media, and then I get the sense that has to be made, that's part of who he is in the building as well. So if Kevin Stefanski, if I'm calling Kevin Stefanski out today about leadership, it's because of that. And here's the thing, guys. We have completely mistaken this idea of what leadership looks like in a head coach. Not everybody has to be Mike Vrabel or Dan Campbell. But leadership is about having the finger on the pulse of the team. And I'll tell you what I hated the most yesterday. In the midst of that fourth quarter, I don't know what to call it. Do you know what I saw? I saw in one play, in fairness, the execution was not there on the play. It was the Jerome Ford fumble. And guys, I cannot make this any clearer. It was a clean handoff. I know Deshaun Watson is the bane of everybody's existence, and it is just the lowest hanging fruit to come out and bat that guy around when you're a little pissed about the Cleveland Browns. It was a clean handoff. Jerome Ford completely biffed it in what was honestly one of the most embarrassing plays of Jerome's career. You're going to see a theme here. Embarrassing. That word's going to show up a lot. Or embarrassing, unlike whatever the hell I just saw. But as they pan to Kevin, we got the WTF moment, right? Kevin saying, what are we doing here? In a few more words. And my thing is, did Kevin not see where his team was heading into that game? Did Kevin not get the feel of his team not playing together? And we talk about adjustments. It took one half of football to get Denzel Ward on Malik Nabers. By that time, he had scored the two touchdowns. We start talking about, hey, your offensive line isn't working. How do we speed this up to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quicker? Well, I don't know. Maybe let's not do a nine-step drop. Maybe. And by the way, guys, Deshaun's play, I thought his worst play of football on Sunday was in that third quarter. He was just blatantly missing dudes. I thought he was, I don't know how to describe him in the first, by the way. I don't. The guy reached his final step in his drop back four times. If we're lucky, on Sunday. That's an incomplete. I don't know how I can weaponize that against Deshaun. Fourth quarter, I thought it was a mixed bag. Overall, not the worst game. Clearly not the best game. Somewhere in the middle. However you want to shade that, it's up to you. I'll give him a C-. But I'm not going any farther than that. But in those moments, when we keep coming back to, Guys got to do the thing. It's not even about the press conferences. I think the Browns lack an identity because I think Kevin as a head coach lacks an identity. And like, I know that there are things that we can attribute to Kevin. Analytic friendly, right? West Coast offense, Gary Kubiak. Maybe some frostbite because he lived in Minnesota for 18 years. But in terms of when you know what hits the fan, what do you revert to? What is the thing that you were good at? What do you fall back on? I don't know what that is with Kevin. And going on 5 years in, if I'm talking about identity, and by the way, the place where I really don't know what his identity is a play caller. I think I'm not going to do the Kevin should not call plays. I'm not doing that. I think he's a fine play caller. But I think identity as a play caller means, all right, where are you going on any given play? Like, what is your methodology? And when I watch it, it kind of just feels like random, which maybe that's his identity. Just picking stuff up and seeing what falls. We'll see. But Kevin, as a head coach, I don't know what his identity is. And every time we go to, well, you know, two coaches of the year, that doesn't mean a damn thing. So I get that for some people, their lack of flavor is a flavor. That doesn't really work in a room full of macho-ass men. And when we start talking about Bill Callahan leaving and the absence of him both on the field and his leadership style, we start to talk about some of the other key figures leaving. It sure seems coincidental that two of the most embarrassing losses, and I call it most embarrassing because of the lack of team unity, the lack of togetherness, the lack of cohesion, on top of what I cannot illustrate enough, was the most putrid offensive line play I've seen. I've seen less talented offensive lines play worse, but when you compare it to the amount of money you've spent on that offensive line, the amount of talent you have on that offensive line, even with the injuries, even with Wyatt going out, third quarter, even with Jed going out, mercifully, going out, I think it was in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, even with those things, there was, I don't even know how to define what I saw in the first half, but it all comes back to leadership. Because honestly, guys, when we start saying what the hell is wrong with the Cleveland Browns, when you don't go out there and we get punched in the mouth and fall down and don't get up two of the first 3 weeks of the season, the conversation should start with leadership. Not firing people, not everything's Deshaun's fault, not trade one of your guards, not cut people. No, it comes back to leadership. And that is the worst conversation to be having 3 weeks into the season. That is not about 3 weeks into the season. That is about something that needs fixed and addressed immediately. 216-474-0092. Dave, stick there. What the hell is going on with the Cleveland Browns? Because I've made the point here of talking about Kevin's lack of identity. That goes into the play calling. That goes into whatever the hell the decision is. And there's one solution some want with Kevin Stefanski, and it's honestly the easiest out for Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski should not be fired. That's not what I'm saying. Kevin Stefanski is not a bad coach, or he's not all of a sudden turned into Shermer or Hugh Jackson. There's a reason that Kevin Stefanski got a contract extension. So I'm not trying to suggest throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But when two of the first three games of the season, we're talking about effort, focus, how things come together, those are things you can pin on the head coach. Because if you can't pin those on it, I guess the guy doesn't do anything. If we're talking about like leadership and focus and playing together as a team, and the Cleveland Browns, quite frankly, through two of the first three games, don't look like they've had a preseason. I will say the offensive line is playing to a point, guys, that we can't. I mean, I don't know. I can evaluate this new offense until I see a little bit more protection time, and that's me giving the benefit of the doubt to Kevin as a play caller, Ken Dorsey as the OC, and Deshaun as the guy executing the offense. But it's not just that, guys. The defense looked bad. They had a better second half, but for a defense that was elite last year, they made Daniel Jones look like a serviceable NFL quarterback. We knew that this could happen, right? The write-off with the Dallas game is, well, maybe that's what happens when this defense faces an elite quarterback. Daniel Jones is like 14 games away from not being the starting quarterback anymore. So it's not like you were going up against an elite quarterback. So the defense likes to pump their chest a little bit, and it took Jim Schwartz, because speaking of coaching, took Jim Schwartz a second or two to get the right adjustments going. There is almost no one. I mean, hell, Dustin Hopkins missed a kick yesterday, guys. Like, isn't that what I'm supposed to fall back on? Is, well, but we got better special teams than you do. By the way, what up to Bohorquez? That dude can punt for me anytime. But there really just wasn't a lot to salvage. And it all comes back to what happens when you get punched in the face. And guys, this isn't a young team. This isn't, as a matter of fact, this is one of the oldest teams in the NFL. You've got veterans. They've played together. Health matters. It really does. But we've seen them overcome health last year. So in the intermediate, it becomes about that O-line and trying to get that anywhere near getting things sorted out. But the separation for your wide receiver sucked. The general idea of what you were going through, I mean, I'll be honest with you guys, anybody wanted to give Kevin Stefanski a pass today or put this just on the players must have missed third and one with Jameis, keeping the offense on the field when you still had plenty of time and a defense was finally turning it around in the fourth quarter, and oh yeah, a fourth and one RPO that behind a bad offensive line, that's a timing play that just wasn't going to work in that scenario. That's as boneheaded as of a three-play sequence as we can talk about with Kevin Stefanski. Big things need to change for the Cleveland Browns. And now, this is the next great test of Kevin Stefanski to make that happen. I think he can do it. Hope he can do it, because I don't like coaching search radio. I don't really need another coaching search. I did that for long enough. Everybody here has done that enough. But man, three games in, there's a lot of inexcusable and things that we just nobody should let pass. 216-474-0092. What the hell is going on with the Cleveland Browns? Dave, welcome to the show, buddy.
Oh, hey, Nick. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't agree more with you. Thanks for calling out Kevin Stefanski. You know, I like him, but I think he's been getting such a, as a person, I like him, but I think as a coach, he's been getting such a pass with the local media. And this has been going on for years. His lack of in-game adjustments are just so discouraging and alarming to me. And then to your point about the culture, you know, last year I remember he made some jokes. It's like, I'm not much of a vibes guy. Well, I would suggest, you know, again, respectfully, that he become more of a vibes guy, because, you know, knowing if your team's ready for a game or not, that's pretty important. It's not just about analytics. Analytics are important, but I think the vibe of the team is really important too. I mean, I don't think a guy like Belichick or Vrabel would not be able to tell what the vibe of their team is going into a game. So you're well spoken today, Nick. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and thanks for taking my call.
Dave, appreciate you. The adjustments thing's tough when you're trying to evaluate a coach, because sometimes the other team just makes better adjustments. I did not love hearing multiple guys in that locker room, including Miles, including Deshaun, being like, yeah, we just didn't see some of those adjustments coming. That is a what the bleep headed towards Kevin Stefanski and his coaches if I've heard about them. Like, and by the way, it was apparent. Whether it was some of the blitz philosophies, they dropped Brian Burns into coverage, which they hadn't done all season long. If Burns had decent hands on him, he would have taken one back for a pick six. Like, that's not on Deshaun, although maybe Deshaun could have seen the floating defender, but that's not all on Deshaun. Like, preparedness helps players go where they need to go. Jeff, welcome to the show, buddy. I'll ask you this, my friend, but thank you again. What the hell is going on with the Cleveland Browns?
Hi, Wilson, Nick. I'll tell you what happened. What happened was Brian Daboll, he knew exactly what to do, knowing he has a lesser offense than we did. Well, aside from the missing offensive linemen, but he and the announcers made it clear that get rid of the ball quick. He knew he was playing against the Cleveland Browns that have the last year one of the best defenses in the league. So he did that. He negated it. He laid out the blueprint for what Kevin should have done. And it just killed me, because Kevin didn't do anything until the second half. I don't think I saw Watson roll out for a pass the whole first half, unless I missed it. So, you know, he waited that long, and then in the fourth quarter, then he started to roll out. I'm saying to myself, when is this guy going to get it together? This is what he has to do. You know, and he didn't do it. He did, you know, the other caller made the same thing. He doesn't make the decision to get it together before it's too late. He's like, he has to play his stubbornness, and I'm going to go with this, I'm going to go with this. And adjustments, they're not there, you know? So what do you think?
I thank you for the call there, Jeff. Appreciate you. I like he hit me with a Wilson Nick. I appreciated that. Nobody ever puts my name in that order, and that spices it up a little bit here on a Monday. I do think Kevin's super smart. I also think he's a little stubborn, and I think Kevin likes the thing that Kevin likes, which is cool until that thing doesn't work. And the simplest thing, I thought, in Dallas, because Jeff pointed out, it's pretty academic, right? Dallas did this to your defense. They like to get after you. They're one of the quickest teams at getting the quarterback in the NFL. Get the ball out quicker. So that was like a moment of like, oh, yeah, that makes total damn sense. New York did that thing, and then I don't know that the Browns, like even the second half, I don't think the Browns got any better at getting the ball out of Deshaun's hands that much quicker. I do think once Joel Bitonio moved to left tackle, even though there were a couple obvious whoopsies, I actually think Joel probably did the best job of anybody playing left tackle yesterday. And I thought he did an okay job considering I've never seen him in that context in real life football. So it's funny because Joel at left guard had been this looks to be going a rough way here. And then I thought Joel actually helped settle down the offensive line at left tackle late in that game. Still wasn't perfect, but it was better. You had a chance. Yeah, I have no idea how New York understood the assignment and Kevin didn't. That feels like a prideful thing. That feels like I want to do things my way, or this is the best way, and we're not going to go ahead and pivot off this. The players just have to do better. That's one half of the equation. Sometimes you actually have to figure out in real time what the players are actually, where you might get some sort of traction with.